times the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And there is hope in Christ, and hope does not disappoint. Well, welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening from Oklahoma City.
And good evening, Ralph. Ralph was having some problems with his phone a little earlier, but hopefully he was thinking he was getting some better bars of service. Are you there yet, Ralph?
I am.
You're about halfway there, is what we're hearing. So I don't know if you can get a better cell coverage area, but we're getting about every other word. But I know we've got a caller. I'll sure let you guys know when they call in, and hopefully your phone's going to work for you, Ralph.
Well, Lord willing.
Yeah, well, that was good. You came through loud and clear.
Yeah, that was good there.
Okay. Well, I was listening earlier, and I didn't get in on the call-in show earlier on prayer until the last 15 minutes or so. I'm embarrassed to say. I had a granddaughter come over and had dinner with us and visited with her. She's 18, and got to watching TV, and I fell asleep. And my wife finally came in and said, aren't you going to be on the show? You know, I set my alarm before on my iPhone, but I can't believe I didn't think about it. So I missed a lot of the prayer in or the calls for the praying there. But I did hear y'all talking about seizures, and of course at Deliverance Ministries we've seen many people healed of seizures by doing deliverance. And I have one CD, in fact, from my radio show I did here in Oklahoma City for so many years, but I took six testimonies of people that were set free from seizures and put them on one CD, and we have that available to ministry. But it's so true that there, just like it was being read in Matthew, those spirits often are seizure-like, and they, you know, would even throw someone in the fire or in the water, that kind of thing, in their seizure-like manifestations. And so it's very common in the demonic world. But the good news is, in Jesus' name, we, as was spoken on the show, all power has been given unto us in his name. And as we speak that power, resisting the devil, even spirits of seizures, praise God, the spirits are cast out.
Amen.
And then we can speak healing as well for any repair that needs to be done that was caused by the spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We read about it in the Bible. We should believe it. We read it there.
Amen. It's there.
Amen. So, Pastor, I was reading in Matthew 8, and it talks about when the Jesus went into Capernaum, and he met the centurion. The centurion came up to him and said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." The note on that says, literally thrown. So I believe that this young man was an epileptic and seizure as well. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, and it shall be done for you as you have believed." And that, and the servant was healed at that very moment. Now that has a twofold teaching to tell me. One, it tells me that we have authority over these things, but two, we're able to pray at a distance. Because that boy wasn't there. A lot of times we don't have the ability to go before the elders and be anointed. But luckily and thankfully and blessedly that we have the power to do that and that authority to come. And also I noticed in Matthew, Brother John was talking about this at Matthew 4, where it said they brought all who were suffering from various diseases, pains, demonics, and epileptics. The side note literally says moonstruck. So that makes me wonder if that had not come by assignment or a spell or a curse.
Could have been any of those.
It could have easily been any of those. Easily. And those are things that can come upon you that need to be taken care of if you're having problems from deliverance of being healed. There may be some legal grounds there that something has come on by curse that needs to be dealt with, that's come on by satanic assignment needs to be dealt with, that comes on by possibly a demon that's been hanging around, a spirit of infirmity, and it could come by lack of forgiveness, which Pastor will tell you that he has seen for many, many times that that is the biggest hindrance of healing. And we need to remember that in Matthew 6, when the apostles went before and asked Jesus how to pray, he gives them what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And after the very end of it, it says in verse 14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." And we know a lot of times that sin, which is transgressions, and diseases and sicknesses come hand in hand.
Yes, exactly right. And, of course, those spirits could come in through any of those 15 doors, Brother Ralph, that we've recognized that demons typically come through to torment Christians. They could come through any of those doors. So that's why it's important to try to get any of those doors closed first and then go after the spirits.
Yes, yes. And there is a self-deliverance website that we have. It's deliveranceusa.com, which will take you to numerous ministry tools to take you through a door-closing prayer that would help you close the doors of those 15 that Pastor was just talking about. And there's many testimonies on there. Is that the testimonies on there of those seizures? I know you have a lot of them up there, but I haven't checked all of them.
No, they're I don't think we have any of the seizure spirits on the website. We do have, it's probably 15 or 20 off my old radio show on there. They had been down for quite a while, but they're up now. If you go to testimonies on the website, then you'll find those. They're all kinds of categories, even haunted house situations or just a little of everything, drugs, alcohol, et cetera. And so that's on there that people can listen to. They're about 10 minutes long on each one. And, you know, it's nothing like testimonies, of course, for telling how this is a reality, because when people say, here's how I was, here's what it was like when these spirits came out, and here I am now, X months or X years later, well, that's kind of the proof of the pudding.
It is.
It works, and that we all are to be doing this, as you read earlier, and we are to be doing the works of Jesus as believers. And
yes.
I didn't understand that for a long time. I was age 44 before I got hold of it. And sadly, many Christians, I hate to say, but I suspect as much as 90% of the body of Christ has not gotten hold of the reality of this works of Jesus and what we're to be doing in it.
Well, in Matthew, I see so much in Matthew as I was reading today, in Matthew 8:34, right after Jesus had sent all those demons, which they said their names were legion, so that's a whole lot of demons, sent them into the herd of swine, and then they rushed off down into the, ran off into the sea and perished. It says in verse 33, the herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what happened to the demonics. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they implored him to leave the region. They couldn't believe it themselves, and they said, get out of here. If Christians, if people during Jesus' time would tell us to get out of there, how much more can we expect when we try to talk to people today that they don't necessarily believe it?
Never mind that the man was healed of the Gadarene for the demoniac.
Yeah.
They were more concerned with the pigs.
They were, and that's right. They were more concerned about those pigs. They were more concerned about getting Jesus out of there and whatnot instead of glorifying God, because that was two men who were demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by the way. And that's just, it's just amazing sometimes the mentality of people to be more concerned about the act instead of being more concerned about the act and this and that and the legalistic and blah, 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 then they are glorifying God that someone was set free. And praise Jesus, those men were set free, or we would not even have the record of that for today, some 2,000 years later. Praise you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, I ministered to a pastor Monday night that came from the eastern part of the state here in Oklahoma, and he, you know, and a lot of this is going on more than one would think, but he had problems with sexual problems, pornography, even some homosexuality, depression, and a whole bunch of stuff, and we had a great overhaul. But how many are out there with similar problems, and they don't get free? But one thing I have seen, pastors come from out of state to deliverance ministries here in Oklahoma City because they feel really safe going out of state at some distance where they don't know anyone. And we've, of course, seen that a lot, that really the best minister is typically a stranger. There's exceptions to that, but overall, that seems to prove itself out, because to a stranger, people will tend to lay it all on the table. They'll tell it.
Yes.
And which is maybe very important to know as a minister, so you can address it, you know, and cast out the associated spirits, deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God that this pastor has had that taken care of, and now the Holy Spirit can work more with this man and do more work for the kingdom. And keep this in mind, people. Here's a pastor, someone who has been called by the gospel, is dwelling in these problems. If it can affect him, it can affect anyone.
Exactly. And even got the head demon up in him, Ralph. So you're familiar with the head demons and how that can work with some people. It doesn't work with everyone, but I was able to interrogate the demons directly. And that's very efficient when you're able to do that. But some people, many, I only get it up in about one out of three or four. But they're there in all of them, you know.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
This preacher, this pastor was set free.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You.
He started prophesying. He's really pumped. There's just all kinds of neat things.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, guys, have Roger on the line. He's called in. Let me bring him on. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening.
Hi, Roger.
What's going on, Brother Everett?
Hi, thanks for calling in. You sound good here in the city. Roger's down in Dallas. And Ralph's up in Missouri, and Richard and doing the controls is up in Wyoming. How's that for being spread around?
That's great. Well, you know, it's kind of like God, almost, you know.
Well, that's right. Well, Roger, if you could just kind of tell how you first learned about deliverance, which I know was some years ago, and then whatever you're comfortable in sharing, what you've experienced in deliverance.
All right, well, I basically was chemically addicted to just about every drug imaginable, and I just kept going in like a cycle of, you know, where I would get free for a week or two, and then, you know, have to call on the name of the Lord and apologize every time I would screw up. And I just kept wondering, you know, because I would read Psalm 51, you know, and I would just, like, lament before the Lord, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I would continue to just, you know, do the things that I learned about growing up as a pastor's kid, you know, thinking that you would know the word. And I'm like, okay, I know the truth, and the truth is not setting me free for some reason. Well, there was a small little thing going on in my life called demonic activity, which is not so small, but it's small compared to the Lord. And so I just, I'd reached my wit's end, and one of my buddies told me about deliverance, and he'd listened to Brother Everett on the radio, some 20 years ago, I guess. I don't know how long it's been. It's been almost 20 years that I've been a part of this. Isn't that crazy? And so, for, you know, all those years, I had been living in bondage, you know, and generational curses that were passed down from, you know, members of my family that you know, just a lot of the same things that I was struggling with were the struggles that caused them to leave the church, to you know, to continue to live like that and not experience any freedom. You know, it's like it was a double, you know, what does James say? A double-minded man is unset in his ways, right, or unstable in his ways. You know, I saw that a lot in my own family and in myself too. You know, and so I ran into the deliverance brother Cox, and I was like, you know, At first, you know, I thought it was just like a bunch of hokey pokey, you know, to be honest, before I got there. And then I realized that it was all based on scripture. So we started dissecting at the first of the, whenever I went and sat in at the deliverance ministry, the first part of the service, we went over the theology of it. Then we started praying through all of these things that, you know, you don't even think about. Like, you guys were just, according to my wife, she's listening in, by the way. And so, she was saying, you know, we're talking about unforgiveness, and I didn't realize how unforgiveness played such a big key in allowing a stronghold for Satan to attack you and your family and your relationships, my relationships, you know? And so, I held a lot of resentment against my relatives for years, and it wasn't, so I went through the first deliverance, I walked away from drugs and alcohol, and I've only relapsed once, and I almost died, so I figured that probably wasn't a smart thing to do, so I repented, and I decided to, you know, like Brother Everett talks about the fork in the road, I decided to take the right fork in the road. Instead of the wrong one. And so, anyway, oh, other than that, just one time in 18 years, I really didn't ever really have the desire to drink. It all left me, like, completely. So, did you have something you needed to say, Brother Everett?
Well, I was just saying, praise the Lord, you know.
Yeah. Well, God, you know, like you say, the Jesus way is the easy way, right?
Amen.
You know, before I got on the phone, you know, I was sensing that we needed to pray for somebody on the phone tonight. I don't know who it is. There's somebody, and specifically, the second part of what I want to talk about is my daughter and her testimony. And she's not my biological daughter, but she's my spiritual daughter. And she, you remember we talked about her, we brought her about a year and a half ago up to Oklahoma City from Fort Worth, and she was struggling with bipolar disorder and attention deficit disorder and a few, you know, like panic attacks and different things like that. And you know, she got freedom from that, and she is not on her medication anymore.
Praise God.
Crazy. Yeah, completely left her medication behind. I mean, it was, and you know, that is a miracle. That's a Jesus miracle,
yeah.
What that is. And let's just say this. I come from a Southern Baptist background, too. Let's just clarify this. Deliverance is not something that we preach on a regular basis at Southern Baptist churches, and I'm not knocking Southern Baptist. I'm just saying that we're, you know, I come from a very conservative bent, so it's to see these things happening, you know, and not to experience them when you're growing up, and to see them happening in front of your eyes, it's almost like watching a cartoon. You know what I mean? Just all the magic happening. But it's not really magic. It's real, you know, because demons are real. And that's what people need to understand.
Amen.
And you know, so all that being said, just like with me, you know, some things started coming back on her. And last night we just sat down at the table and had a little mini deliverance at our table. And we just, and you know, she felt something leave her, and, you know, it's not some magical formula, like I said, it's just, you know, believing in the Holy Spirit, His power, and believing in Jesus and what He can do, and what, you know, and by His stripes we are healed, that we become, you know, free from this demonic activity, you know, because we have to believe the truth, and the main thing is we have to stay free. You know, it's not just, hey, I get delivered, but secondly, it's that we have to stay in the Word, we have to stay true to who we are in Christ. And that goes for my daughter, that goes for me, it goes for my wife. You know, we have to, that's what I'm finding, you know, because at first I walked in and I just, I was free, you know, when I got off drugs and alcohol, and I thought everything was going to be okay. And then next thing I know, you know, what, 10 years later, I come back and it just gets you, and you don't realize how involved in demonic activity you can become, even, you know, working in the ministry like I was. You know, I was in the ministry for 10 years myself. So, all that being said, my daughter is, you know, I just sense that there's somebody else struggling tonight at the same time that my daughter is, and I Brother Everett, I was wondering if you could just pray for my daughter and the people that are listening to this, to let them know it's going to be okay, and come against, you know, anything that has attached itself to this conversation, because I guarantee the enemy's not happy when people get free. You know what I mean?
Well, that's right. But again, we've been given the power in Jesus' name to do something about it. What's your daughter's name again? I've forgotten.
Her name is
first name.
Paige. Paige.
Paige. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's mostly bipolar. It's been
fear. It's fear and anxiety now. It's not bipolar anymore. It's more fear and anxiety than anything.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, let's just pray on that while we're together here, and we just take authority. The Bible says where two or more agreed shall be done by the Father in heaven. And we know Luke 10:19 that all of us as Christians have power over all the enemy, if we use it, I might add. So we're using it tonight. Nothing will harm us as well. So with all power, we lift up Paige. We're all in agreement here. We lift Paige up to you. And with this power we've been given in Jesus' name, we take authority over any demonic assignments, any generational curses, witchcraft curses, any curses, medical curses that have been spoken over her. We break those off. In the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, we command all related spirits to go, and fear and anxiety, depression, all associated spirits. We round you up right now as we all stand in agreement, and in Jesus' name, go to the feet of Jesus, or Jesus to do what he wishes with you. In Jesus' name, everybody, Jesus' name,
Jesus' name,
out.
Go. Jesus' name, go.
Blood. The
in Jesus'
blood,
name, go.
Powers in the blood.
Jesus' name.
We're overcomers in the name. Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we just
Lord,
declare
Lord,
her healed and whole and restored in Jesus' name. For she has the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And anyone else that was similar to that, we just declare that went right through the airways, touching them and healing them.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well, Roger, has she been doing okay since you all sat around the table then?
Yeah. I've noticed a lot more joy in my life and my family.
Praise
and
God.
You know, I want to experience this all the time if I can. I'm going to do my best to stay hooked up.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we're to pray one to another, and we all have this power. It's not a gift thing. This is normal Christianity we're talking about tonight. And,
right,
and
exactly.
All Christians have this same power. So it's just a matter of using it and identifying the enemy. You'll typically know them simply by what they're trying to do. You'll know them by their functional name, like fear, as you mentioned, and anxiety and depression and anger, whatever it is. You'll tend them, by what they're trying to do. You'll know a tree by its fruits. In this case, you'll know a tree by its bad fruits as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Well, Roger,
powerful stuff,
in the few minutes we have left, do you have anything else to share on this subject, or any word to pass on to the listeners?
Well, I just, you know, I encourage people to look into some resources, if especially if they're not around Oklahoma City. I mean, this is not something that is just, like, well, readily available to people. But I recently, what got me back going down this track is I went out and bought a book called Victory Over the Darkness by Neil Anderson, and also, also The Bondage Breaker. And it's really kind of like a expanded version of the things that you say. It's pretty hilarious how when Christians get a hold of spiritual warfare and it's the truth, it's all the same. Does that make sense?
Right, and I know those books, and there's lots of books on the subject. If a person will go to a full gospel bookstore, they'll find that really tons of books have been written on the subject of casting out evil spirits and healing the sick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I just encourage people to, if they don't have resources around them, to learn about it, you know, and learn what the Bible says about it and how to do it the biblical way, you know. There's the biblical way and there's the unbiblical way, and Jesus even talked about that. And you remember how when he talked about the people were casting out demons in his name but weren't associated with him. I don't remember the scripture, but so, you know, there's...
It was in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva. In Acts 19, they actually weren't born again. They were just trying to use the name of Jesus because they'd seen others using the name of Jesus. Well, the demons, of course, knew they were not born again.
Well, the Pharisees made the claim that Jesus was casting them out by the power of Beelzebub. The Pharisees weren't arguing the fact that there was demons. Pharisees weren't arguing that they were cast out. They were arguing the authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah,
the authority's in the name of Jesus.
I have a book out called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which I've been at this 39 years now, but it took me quite a few years to finally get all this together, but it has the steps in it that we've learned to do, and if a person is interested in doing this kind of ministry, they can follow those steps. It's not just a book, it is a book manual, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and it is available through this ministry's Scriptures for America.
You can call the office phone at 307-742-7582, and you can request that book, or you can write in at LaPorte Church of Christ, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Either Avenue will give you the ability to get a hold of the office there, and they will get it to you.
Excellent.
Well, Roger, thank you so much for coming on. You've been a blessing, brother, and what you've shared, there's probably people listening out there that know others that are in those same categories, and it would encourage them to talk to them and to try to get them into this kind of ministry.
Right. Well, it's not just phenomenon. I can tell you that right now. So,
amen. And
so I guess that's it. That's
all right, Rock. Thanks, brother. Your blessing.
You bet. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon, Everett.
Okay, Roger. Bye-bye.
And, whoa, what a testimony. As soon as we get that caller off, I think we've got another one. Good evening. Welcome to Hope is Alive.
Hello, ma'am.
Good evening.
This is
hello.
How you doing? This is Jerry from California.
Jerry? Hi.
Yep.
This is Everett, and Ralph's here.
Yeah, I've been listening to the program.
Thanks for calling in.
I can tell you that.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening. Tell you the Spirit's moving because that prayer that Roger prayed, that he asked you to pray, that was for me. I have anxiety about public speaking, and I canceled on Brother Ralph once for that reason. So the Spirit's moving. Things are working.
Well, amen. I've seen people set free from that. We have it on our problem list, and I've seen a number of people set free that had bothered them for years and years, and so praise God, that's exciting.
Yeah, it never seems like a big deal until you actually have to do it, and then boy, it starts working on your stomach.
Well, Jerry, I'm glad to hear from you again. I had the opportunity to meet Jerry for the first time at the very beginning of January, and I will tell you, that as any man there will tell you, that we also attended, Jerry looked like a different man when he came out of his deliverance session, a complete different man, and he was on fire. He had the Spirit moving through him. He's able to hear things clearly, see things clearly, and from what's my understanding, he's been working on setting California free. So, Jerry, just as you feel led to share, just start sharing.
Well, we did have quite a time in Oklahoma City. That was an eye-opener in many aspects. But I came to this through your program. I listened. I'm ashamed to say I was one of those who the first program, I heard some things that we were not accustomed to hearing at SFAW. We got caught up in a shibboleth test, and John actually had a very powerful sermon about that this Sunday. But I heard some things, and it turned me off, and I wasn't sure. And I came back the next week, and I heard testimonies. And one of the reasons I needed to call in tonight is because the testimony is so powerful. When you hear Christ working through other people, it's amazing to hear. And it, even if, you know, it gets frustrating when I talk to people, and it seems like most of them don't want to hear it, but if you get one out of 100 or 200, it's still worth it. And so I've been listening for a year to the program since it came on, and I've been praying for a way to get to Oklahoma, and especially when you announced, it was a month or so before, that you were going to have that gathering in Oklahoma City, I began to pray for that to happen, and then it all worked out. Everything fell right into place, and we had a good time. We had a very, very good fellowship there with all the men. It was quite a gathering. I enjoyed it. I look forward to the next one as well, which I think is sometime in March. I don't know if you've set a date on that or not, Ralph. Is there a date set yet?
Sorry, I muted myself. No, we haven't. The spirit is still working on setting up some details. And March was just the date that the Spirit kind of led towards us, but I don't know all the details on it yet, and we'll definitely get those out as it comes.
Okay. Well, I would, anybody who's been thinking about it or has been on the fence about it, I would highly recommend it. It's real, and it works, and The deliverance was one part of what we did there, the church gathering. I was very skeptical of the tongue speaking. I was only around it a couple times as a young child, and it wasn't orderly, and it was very, it scared me a little bit, really. It kind of freaked me out, and I was very skeptical of it. And once, when you're around it, and you see it done in biblical order, when one man speaks and another one interprets, wow, the power, you could feel it. I could feel it physically, the power moving through the room. Was very impressive, something I'll never forget. I look forward to it again, and I have done it regularly here at home on my own. In many aspects, it changed the way I looked at a lot of things. All those men that were gathered there, I learned a lot. I get asked a lot of questions here. A lot of people, as you know, don't read their Bible. So when it comes up in conversation, usually the Spirit will give me an answer. Well, then you get to thinking you have all the answers. I just had to sit in that room and listen to other men speak to realize some. There's a lot more to learn than you think. Even if you read that book for your whole life, there's still more to learn. So,
I think that's why they call it the Living Word.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So I enjoyed the war room very much. That's a very powerful place that you guys have set up there with the praise and worship. And that you talked a few weeks ago about the little gal that blew the horn. That was that was amazing to me as well. And then sitting in on my first deliverance, I talked to Everett about it a week or so ago. About that man, I have used his testimony many times, and John used it this week also in his sermon. He was a completely changed man. He came in one way and left another. He was ready to, the spirits of suicide were, they had him. He was convinced he was good for nothing, and he wasn't going to live anymore. If I remember correctly, Everett had two choices that day. He was going to climb up the tree. He'd already purchased the rope. Or he was going to come to Deliverance Ministries, and he left there praising Jesus. And from what I heard from Everett, yeah, he's been going to some training.
Yeah, he's doing good. I talked to him, yeah.
Praise God.
So I've used his testimony when speaking to other people. And just that, he was down and out as he was. He still allowed four complete strangers to sit in and listen to all of his deep, dark secrets. And that impressed me, and I've used it many times to talk to people.
And how different he looked. I'll never forget that. He looked like a whole other person when he left.
Yes. He came in crying tears of sorrow. He left joking, crying tears of happiness and joy, praising Jesus and speaking.
Amen.
He was already born again and already a tongue speaker. And it just goes to show you that those spirits can get to you. I don't care who you are if you're not paying attention.
That's right. Amen. And if you open doors, bitterness is, again, that he had plenty of that. And so I was obviously one of the doors, unforgiveness.
Yeah. So
praise
Kyle, I heard Kyle from Louisiana. He was a couple weeks ago, I believe. He was on fire. He was down there working, setting Louisiana free. He had done two or three. And I know Brother Howard in Alaska, he's got two or three under his belt. So I called Kyle here in California. I said, you know, if this was a competition, we would be losing badly. So we need to step it up. And so we both prayed about people to show up. And lo and behold, the next day we had two of them set up. So we performed two here, and I've got the word out. What I did is I copied off the problem lists, and I've handed those out to various people just to show them the things that they deal with can be dealt with in a deliverance fashion. And that seems to, it gets people's attention. You can see it on their face when they start looking over that list.
Yeah, that's right. Be a rare person, yeah, it probably wouldn't mark about three dozen of them.
Well, yeah, you can see the recognition in their eyes when they just, as soon as they look at it, I think, well, I believe bitterness is the first thing, and unforgiveness on the list. So most everybody has that. I know it was big for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't even realize they have unforgiveness until you start pointing some things out. I know I dealt with someone recently, and I was telling her, I said, well, have you ever forgiven so-and-so? And she told me that all of a sudden she got real emotional. And she says, you know, I've never forgiven them. So, yeah. And before the conversation is over, it was about 15 people on her list that she needed to forgive. And she was going to go, was going to do that, was going to break soul ties with some of them, and just sit there and honestly forgive them. So if there's any harboring any forgiveness in your life, right, unforgiveness, do yourself a favor, because it's more for you than it is for them. It does help them as well, too, because you release them from that bondage you have upon them that you're holding them in, but it releases you from your bondage. you.
Yeah.
And it's so important. It is said over and over in Scripture, you'll be handed over to tormentors. There are some theologians that believe that if you don't forgive, you won't make it into heaven. I don't believe that's the case, but I believe it's pretty serious where the Lord would not give it to us right after the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' words right after the Lord's Prayer, if you do not forgive, the Father will not forgive you. So it's just so important out there, people. If you have any bitterness, let it go. Let it go. It's a command. Let it go.
Well, I know this as well, and it's been amazing since I got home. And if you go through deliverance, we didn't get them all. I must have had a good deal of them. I don't know. There was a lot of yawning, and there's been some since. But as I got home, and you get some of those thoughts out of your mind, I had a lot of static is what I called it in my mind. I used to tell them before I understood deliverance and what was going on, I knew there was something in there that didn't belong. I used to tell them, I don't know how and I don't know when, but someday I'm taking you guys out. And it's just amazing how it worked out. We serve a very gracious, kind, merciful God. But all along the way, since I've been home, that's been 5 or 6 weeks, it brings things to mind. The Spirit brings things to mind that needed to be taken care of. And I've done a lot of casting out of my own, because it'll bring a thought back to me that of something that happened years ago that I never even thought about that may have opened a door or imposed a curse or something. I've done a lot. That's happened almost daily since I've been home, sometimes more than once. So it's an ongoing process, and it's still going on, as Roger displayed earlier. That prayer that he said was for me. I was having anxiety. I don't like speaking in front of people. I never have. It just goes to show you, if you take a step of faith, he'll take the next one with you.
Amen. Oh, that's great. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you're doing fine, brother. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I got a few more that are kind of on the fence. I've thrown the bait out there. I haven't really set the hook on them and pulled them in yet, but I'm working on them, and I keep praying, and hopefully he will keep bringing people to me. It's quite an experience. It's quite an experience.
Well, exactly,
it's very fulfilling,
right,
to deal with people in that manner.
And Jerry, the Lord, if you should, will send people to you. That is an amazing thing. It's a humbling thing to realize that God is actually sending them to us to minister to in this way. And the more you show yourself approved, the more He'll be sending them to you. And
one of my problems was frustration, and part of my frustration was not being able to communicate to people, you know, the gospel plan, or not be able to, I think it's been 8 years since I've been on the ministry and been baptized for the remission of my sins, which changed my life as well. It was a complete change in my life, but the spirits, those demons, if you don't get rid of them, they're still there, and they continue to work, and pretty soon, you know, they started breaking me down again, and a lot of the things came flooding back in. So it's a process.
Well, it is. And of course, those doors are all based on the Scriptures. And just like the unforgiveness doors, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And it's those doors, it'd be a rare person this side of Jesus that hasn't opened doors, or their ancestors have opened doors. So,
amen.
You can bet most all Christians have their share of demonic activity going on, and that's why Jesus so clearly commanded believers to cast these things out. I understand it now very clearly.
I want to add too that on that where it talks about being handed over to the tormentors, Jesus was talking to the saved. He was talking to the apostles. He wasn't talking to the unsaved. He was talking to the saved. So this foolishness out there that says, once you're saved, you can't have a demon, is nothing more than foolishness. because Jesus clearly said you will be handed over to the tormentors. Clearly says several times in the Bible that a deluding influence could come upon you, or this type of spirit to come upon you. What those are spirits, they're demons that can easily come upon a Christian. So if anyone out there tells you that a Christian cannot have a demon, they are wrong. Plain and simple, wrong.
Amen. You can read about
I'm walking.
Ralph, I don't mean to interrupt, but you can read about that. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21, Jesus is talking to Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he goes through this and talking about being handed over to the torturers if they do not forgive, if they don't do that. So absolutely it is. Just read the Bible. Read your word and pray about it, and it's right there. It is. Simple Christianity.
Well, I'm walking proof that they can come back, or they I don't know that they left, but they can get stronger. Because when I was baptized, it was a life-changing experience for me. I gained knowledge. I read books at an incredible pace. I gained more knowledge in the first year after my baptism than I gained in my whole life. But those things were just, they crept their way back in. It was very slow. It was very methodical. And before I knew it, I was cursing. Profanity was one of my problems. I grew up in a house of profanity, and it's always been a habit. And along with that comes anger and frustration. They all go together. It's amazing how they work together. But those things come back in, and they come back in very strong if you don't take care of it. It happens very easy, even sometimes without notice.
Yes. So true. Well,
it can because those doors will sometimes still be open even after your baptism, because the word does say repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, but sometimes you don't even realize that you're sinning, so you haven't been able to repent for that. There may be a sin there that you didn't realize was sin, and that you were keeping it still in your life, and it allowed the door to come back open, and just like it says, when one is cleaned out, seven worse come than before. This is all talking to the saved. This is all talking to the saved.
And the second state is worse than the first, and I can tell you that's true as well.
Mm-hmm.
They come back strong, or stronger demons. I don't know if Satan, I don't know how his war room works, but if you get rid of the weak ones, he might send you the stronger ones. I don't know, but they come back strong. I do know that.
Well, we have all power on our side and God's angels to back us.
That's true.
Amen.
And I just want to say, I want to thank you, Everett, for your ministry, and Chris and Ralph and Richard and all you guys that put this show on. I can tell you just, you know, what it did in my life, and some other people that I have turned on to it and given your book to. It's a life-changing thing, and I just wanted everybody to understand that if you're on the fence or you don't think it's real, trust me, I'm the biggest skeptic right now talking about it. It's real, and it works, and it will change your life. It will change your children's life, your ancestors, your descendants' life. You can break off curses that would affect your children's children. It's amazing.
And I think it's always good to point out that when we're talking about demons bothering Christians, we're not talking about in our spirit man itself. As a born-again Christian, our spirit man is totally secure in Jesus. If the body dies, your spirit would go to be with the Lord. But these demons are hanging out in the body area, even spirits of infirmity or sickness, and they are tormenting the soul area, the mind, will, emotions, and with some people a very high degree in the soul area. So that's where they are, and when people say Christians can't be bothered, they're not thinking about the fact that we have three parts. That makes it more understandable to a lot of people when they realize that.
Yeah, I get that argument a lot, and that's one of the first ones you get, that Christians can't be possessed, and it's, as you just pointed out, it's not a possession, it's a infestation, and it can ruin your life. It drove that man we sat in on his deliverance. He purchased a rope and picked out a tree, and he had two choices, and thank God he picked the right choice. because it changed his life. Amen. I saw it in 3 hours. A whole new man.
It's a torment. Depression can be a torment for somebody. An illness can be a torment for somebody. And all these things can come by assignment. They can come by curses. They can come by doors that you have allowed open through unrepentant sin or just blatant sin. So these things are there. And all these warnings are to the saved.
Yes.
This book was written when Paul talks about things. Paul was not writing to non-Christians. He was writing to the church of Corinthia, you know, the church of Galatia. He was writing to Timothy. He was writing to Titus. He was writing to these people who were already saved.
Well, yeah, even Paul had a demon. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, that he was tormented remember that thorn in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
He kept praying to God, take it away, and God kept saying back to Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said that over and over. Well, I think it finally soaked in with Paul that he realized what Jesus did at the cross for him was sufficient, and now he's to speak in Jesus' name and get rid of that thorn in the flesh and command it to go. And I think that's what finally happened, and because we don't read about it later in the scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to also thank Brother Jim for the four weapons that he gave us that night. He gave me, he did my deliverance, Brother Jim did. And then he came in the room and he gave us those four weapons. And since then, Scriptures for America has put them out on the Dragon Slayer. So I want to thank him for those. Are very, very everyday weapons you can use in your spiritual battle. And they work. They work every time.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Perish the thought, et cetera.
Yes. Hundreds of times a day.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, guys, we're about out of time. We might need to take a second hour on this sometime, but maybe just to go over those four weapons, because they work. They do. Perish the thought. It works. And amen.
Right.
And if this is of the enemy, I forbid it. No, that's exercising the power and authority he's given us.
Authority.
Authority.
Exercising authority.
And obedience. In obedience to his word. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Jerry, that prayer, I guess it was for you, because it was sure answered. Because you were fine tonight, absolutely.
Oh, I can tell you that the turning in my stomach went away.
Yeah.
It was gone. And I thank Roger also and you guys, and have a blessed evening. And hopefully I'll see you all again in Oklahoma City in March.
All right. God bless, brother.
Sounds good.
God bless, brother.
Bye. God bless.
Guys, we're out of time.
Good night, everybody.
Yep, good night. And again, if you want that book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, we've got it. You can contact us for it. Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And hey, we'll work it out to get it to you. Just ask.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September
towers fell and all our hearts were torn. Like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our.